From Washington, this is VOA News. Zambia's vice president has been named president after Sata's death, and Pakistan renews its pledge to support peace and reconciliation in Afghanistan. I'm Frances Alonzo reporting from Washington. Zambian Vice President Guy Scott has been named the country's interim president following the death of President Michael Sata. Zambia's Defense Minister Edgar Lungu announced the news in the capital, Lusaka, today, less than 24 hours after Sata died in London, where he had been undergoing treatment for an undisclosed illness. The defense minister also said Zambia will hold a presidential election within 90 days. Mr. Scott becomes Africa's first white president since South Africa's F.W. de Klerk in 1994. Kurdish fighters in northern Syria are getting reinforcements in their weeks-old battle with Islamic State militants in the town of Kobani. A group of about 50 rebels from the Free Syrian Army arrived today in Kobani after crossing into Syria from Turkey. They joined the fight there against the Islamic State group after spending the past 3.5 years battling Syrian forces in a bid to oust President Bashar al-Assad. Also today, a group of Iraqi Kurdish fighters flew into an airport in Turkey and then proceeded toward the Syrian border under escort by Turkish security forces. Pakistan has renewed its pledge to extend support for peace and reconciliation efforts in Afghanistan and open a new chapter in its relations with the country. The statement came as U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan Dan Feldman concluded talks with civilian and military officials in Islamabad today. You're listening to VOA News. At least 10 people are dead and hundreds missing after a landslide today buried scores of homes in south central Sri Lanka. Heavy rains triggered the wave of mud that rushed into the village of Halmdumola, which is 190 kilometers from the capital of Colombo. The government said at least 120 homes were destroyed and more than 250 people are missing. Media reports show more muddy water gushing from the hilltops, an indication that more landslides could occur. Russia successfully launched an unmanned rocket with supplies for the International Space Station from Kazakhstan today, hours after a catastrophic explosion destroyed a similar mission in the United States. The unmanned commercial rocket with equipment for the space station burst into fiery fragments just seconds after liftoff in the state of Virginia. The Orbital Sciences Corporation is a company contracted by the U.S. government to send supplies to the space station. This is Frank Culbertson.
As far as next steps for the Antares, we will not fly until we understand the root cause and the corrective action necessary to ensure this doesn't happen again.
The space agency NASA says the International Space Station crew is in no danger of running out of food or other critical supplies. Analysts who closely watch developments in North Korea say Pyongyang has made strides in missile launch systems that could deliver a nuclear warhead as far away as the United States. VOA's Brian Patton reports.
On Friday, Army General Curtis Scaparotti, commander of U.S. Forces Korea, told a briefing in Washington that North Korea has the right connections and technology to develop a miniaturized nuclear weapon that can be launched from a mobile launcher. Bruce Bechtol, president of the International Council on Korean Studies, tells VOA that North Korea observers have thought for years that the country possesses that technology. While the United States is concerned about the development of the miniaturized nuclear weapon, Bechtol says even more worrying are plans for its KN-08 long-range missile that could hit the United States, as well as advances in mobile missile launchers that are difficult to detect by satellite. Brian Patton, VOA News, Seoul.
Forensic experts in Mexico are once again combing aside for clues to the disappearance of 43 students last month. But by the end of the day Tuesday, the result was the same as it has been for 4 weeks. No sign of life or death for the teacher trainees who had disappeared from the nearby town of Iguala in the state of Guerrero. There are suspicions of human remains at the newest possible mass grave site. I'm Frances Alonzo in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA. Coming up on The Voice of America, English teaching and learning English. We begin with our English teaching programs, New Dynamic English and Functioning in Business. At 11:30 Universal Time, you'll hear the new Learning English magazine show, As It Is, followed by The Health Report and the Learning English program, Explorations. Thank you for listening to VOA.
Hi, I'm Max.
Hello, my name is Kathy.
Welcome to New Dynamic English.
New Dynamic English is a basic English language course and an introduction to American people and culture. Today's unit is, What Are You Studying?
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Just great. Who's our guest today?
Today's guest is Sandy Steele.
The college student?
That's right. He's a friend of Pat Miller. He goes to American University.
And what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about college life.
I'm looking forward to it.
Interview.
Now it's time for today's interview. Our guest today is Sandy Steele. Sandy is a student at American University here in Washington, D.C. Welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me back.
Tell us a little about your studies.
Well, I'm a student at American University. I'm in my second year.
What are you studying?
I'm interested in science, so I'm taking two science courses.
What are they?
I'm taking chemistry and physics. I want to be a physicist.
Are you taking any other courses?
Yes, I'm taking history and English literature.
Our guest is Sandy Steele. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and repeat.
Chemistry.
I'm studying chemistry.
Physics.
I'm studying physics.
History.
I'm studying history.
English literature.
I'm studying English literature.
Interview.
We're back with Sandy Steele. Sandy is a student at American University. Where's your friend Pat today? What's she doing?
She's at the library. She's studying for a test.
What kind of test?
It's for her Spanish class. She's taking Spanish this term.
Are you taking that class too?
No, I'm not. I'm not taking Spanish.
Are you taking any foreign languages, like French or Chinese?
No, I'm not.
What other courses is Pat taking?
Well, we're both taking the same English literature class, and she's taking two acting classes in the drama department.
Our guest today is Sandy Steele. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and repeat.
Chemistry. Is Sandy taking chemistry? Yes, he is. He's taking chemistry. Spanish. Is Sandy taking Spanish? No, he isn't. He isn't taking Spanish. English literature. Are Sandy and Pat taking English literature? Yes, they are. They're taking English literature. French. Are Sandy and Pat taking French? No, they aren't. They aren't taking French.
Email.
It's time to check our email. We have an email from Marvin in Austin, Texas. His question is, where do you live? Do you live on campus?
Yes, I do.
In a dormitory?
Yes, I live in a dormitory.
Do you have a roommate?
Yes, I do. I have a roommate. He comes from Arizona.
I see. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here.
Let's take a break.
Listen and answer. Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
Is Sandy a student? Yes, he is. He's a student. Does he go to Georgetown University? No, he doesn't. He goes to American University. Is he taking any science courses? Yes, he is. He's taking chemistry and physics. Is he studying Spanish? No, he isn't. He isn't studying Spanish. Does he live on campus? Yes, he does. He lives on campus. Does he have a roommate? Yes, he does. He has a roommate. Does his roommate come from California? No, he doesn't. Sandy's roommate comes from Arizona.
Daily Dialogue. Leaving a Message. Part 2. Listen to the conversation.
Hello?
Hi, is this Bob?
No, this is James.
Is Bob there?
No, he's not. He's at work.
Okay. Can I leave a message?
Sure, go ahead.
This is Susan Barnes.
Could you please spell that?
Sure. It's B as in boy, A-R-N-E-S, Barnes.
And your number?
It's 555-3206.
555-3206.
That's right.
Listen and repeat.
Can I leave a message?
Sure, go ahead.
This is Susan Barnes.
Could you please spell that?
Sure. It's B as in boy, A-R-N-E-S, Barnes.
And your number?
It's 555-3206.
555-3206.
That's right.
Man on the Street.
This is the new Dynamic English, Man on the Street, Kent Moss. Today I'm standing in front of the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. People are waiting to see the American astronaut, John Dale. He's making a special visit here today. Excuse me?
Yes?
Are you waiting to see John Dale?
Yes, that's right.
Are you here by yourself?
No, my sister is with me. Well, she's not here right now. She's eating lunch at the cafeteria in the museum.
Do you live in Washington?
No, I don't. I'm from Ohio. I'm here visiting my sister. I'm staying with her for a few days.
She lives in Washington?
That's right. Oh, look! There's John Dale now!
Where?
He's coming through that door. Do you see him? He's wearing a gray jacket.
Oh, yes, there he is. Excuse me. Well, thanks for talking with me.
My pleasure.
A question for you.
Now here's a question for you.
Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
What are you doing right now? Oh, I see. You're listening to New Dynamic English.
Well, our time is up. So until next time, this is Kathy.
And this is Max.
Good luck in your English studies.
Goodbye. Bye.
For additional study materials, visit the DINED International website at dined.com. That's DYNED.com.
And we're off the air. Good show, guys.
Oh, Max, there was a message from your wife. She said the job interview went well.
Oh, that's great. She applied for a job with a small company in Bethesda. She had her second interview today.
What kind of company is it?
It's a computer company.
Do you think it's a good job for her?
Oh, it's perfect. It's part-time with a flexible schedule. And she'll be able to do some of the work at home.
Oh, I hope she gets it.
I think she will. They seem to like her a lot.
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. It looks as if Max's wife has found a new job.
Well, it's not certain. They haven't offered it to her yet.
Well, wish her the best of luck.
I'll do that.
Now, English teaching continues on VOA.
Quiet, please, everyone. Ready for functioning in business? Cue music.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
Functioning in Business is an intermediate-level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture. Today's unit is Making an Appointment, Part 5. This program focuses on confirming meeting times and ending a conversation. Interview.
On today's program, I'll be talking with Charles Blake. Mr. Blake is speaking to us by phone from his company's head office in Beijing. Hello, Mr. Blake. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
In this show, we're going to listen to the second part of your phone call to Mr. Mike Epstein of Advanced Technologies.
That's right. I called him from my hotel when I arrived in San Francisco on June 10th. I wanted to meet with him and with his boss.
Shirley Graham.
That's right, Ms. Graham. I knew that Mr. Epstein wanted to purchase our industrial robots for the new plant, but he wasn't the one making the decision. The decision would have to come from his boss, Shirley Graham, so I was looking forward to meeting with her.
Okay, let's listen again to the conversation.
Dialogue. Let's listen in to the second part of the phone conversation between Mr. Blake and Mr. Epstein.
I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
Great. Just one other thing. I would like to introduce you to one of our vice presidents, Ms. Shirley Graham. She's the manager of the project that I'm working on, and I was wondering if we could get together again, say, Wednesday.
I have no plans on Wednesday, and I would like to meet her.
Okay. If you could keep your schedule free around lunchtime on Wednesday, and then I'll finalize that appointment with her.
Okay, very good.
All right. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Okay, that's tomorrow, 11:15 at the hotel.
Yes, okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, too.
Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.
Variations. Listen to these variations. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
See you tomorrow morning.
That's tomorrow, 11:15 at the hotel.
So I'll see you tomorrow at 11:15 at my hotel.
I'm looking forward to seeing you too.
I'll look forward to seeing you too.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Interview.
So you arranged to meet with Mr. Epstein on Tuesday and with Ms. Graham on the following day, on Wednesday.
That's right. I agreed to keep my schedule open on Wednesday to meet with Ms. Graham, and Mr. Epstein said he would let me know when the meeting was confirmed.
What did you do for the rest of the evening, Monday evening?
Well, I was pretty tired from my flight, so I had dinner at the hotel and then went to bed. I wanted to be well rested the next day for my meeting with Mr. Epstein.
I see. Thank you for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
Listen and repeat.
I look forward. I look forward to seeing you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning. She's the manager. She's the manager of the project. She's the manager of the project that I'm working on. I was wondering if we could get together again. I was wondering if we could get together again, say Wednesday.
Culture tips.
Hello again. We're here with Gary Engleton, our business language expert. Let's look at our email questions, Gary.
All right.
Well, today we have a very important email question.
What is it?
The question is, how can I prevent misunderstandings about the time and place for an appointment? I've had problems in the past, especially with appointments made on the phone.
Yes, that's a very good question. It's very important to confirm the time and place of the meeting at the end of a phone call.
Uh-huh.
For example, you might say, "So, that's Wednesday at 1 p.m. in front of the Regis Hotel." You should always say the day, the time, and the meeting place. The other person should say something like, "Yes, that's right."
That's good advice.
There are some things to be careful about when confirming the time and place for a meeting. Be careful with numbers like 14 and 40. They are confusing because they sound similar.
Yes, they really do sound similar. How do you know which is correct?
If you're not sure, ask the person. For example, you can say, "Did you say 14 or 40?
That's a good idea.
And ask the other person to spell all names. For example, if the other person says to meet at the Regis Hotel, say, "Could you spell Regis?"
Uh-huh.
You don't want to miss a meeting because of a simple misunderstanding.
That's for sure. Thanks, Gary. Once again, you've given us a great deal of important information.
My pleasure.
Listen to the speakers. Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
Let's meet at 2 o'clock in the conference room.
Did she say 2 o'clock or 10 o'clock? She said 2 o'clock.
The hotel is at 60 Osborne Terrace.
Did he say 16 or 60? He said 60. 60.
Let's meet at my office. It's on the 14th floor.
Is her office on the 14th floor or the 40th floor? It's on the 14th floor. 14.
The restaurant is on 17th Street, near the museum.
Is the restaurant on 17th Street or 70th Street? It's on 17th Street. 17.
Business dialogue.
Let's listen to three examples of confirmation. Number one.
So we'll meet tomorrow at 11:15 at your hotel.
Good, I'll see you then.
Number two.
Let's see, that's tomorrow at 7 p.m. in front of your office.
Sounds good, see you then.
Number three.
Okay, I'll see you on the 13th at the Café Royal at 2 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Focus on functions. Confirming.
Let's focus on confirming the time and place of a meeting.
Listen and repeat.
So we'll meet tomorrow at 11:15. So we'll meet tomorrow at 11:15 at your hotel. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. in front of your office. I'll see you on the 13th at the Café Royal. I'll see you on the 13th at the Café Royal at 2 o'clock.
Gary's Tips.
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today we'll look at some ways to confirm the time and place of a meeting at the end of a conversation. One way is to use the word so. Let's listen.
So we'll meet tomorrow at 11:15 at your hotel.
Good, I'll see you then.
Another way to confirm meeting arrangements is to say that's and then the time and place.
Let's see. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. in front of your office.
Sounds good. See you then.
A third way to confirm a meeting is to say, I'll see you, and then the time and place of the meeting.
Okay. I'll see you on the 13th at the Café Royal at 2 o'clock.
I'm looking forward to seeing you.
No matter how well you speak English, it is a good idea to always confirm the time and place of your meeting. Finally, you can end the conversation by saying, I'm looking forward to seeing you. If you don't know the person, use the word meeting you instead of seeing you.
So, if you don't know the person, say, I'm looking forward to meeting you. If you know the person, say, I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
For additional study materials, visit the DINED International website at dined.com. That's DYNED.com.